Hello, it's Chuck.
Hey, Chuck, Sammy here.
Hey, Sammy, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing good. Sorry I'm so late, man. I'm behind like a mother.
It's okay, man. It's okay. I had the opportunity to interview at the Sunken Garden Theater in June of 99 when you played there in the same day, the Spurs championship that night.
Oh, that's right. We went in that little booth out in the audience there.
Right.
Yeah, I totally remember that now. I mean, I remember that show, but now I actually remember the interview.
Yeah. Yeah, we were in the booth, and I tried to get you to make some Waburritos, and, you know, didn't have all the ingredients. So that kind of leads me to my first question. Tell me about the marketing campaign for Cabo Wabo Tequila on the upcoming Hagar and Roth tour.
Well, you know, Dave had a real problem. You know, when we started trying to put this tour together, Dave had a problem with Cabo Wabo because, Cabo Wabo sponsors everything I do. I own the company. It's like me. It's like if it's Sammy Hagar, it's Cabo Wabo. So, and he knows that. So he didn't want Cabo Wabo to be the sponsor of the tour or involved in any way. You know, he wanted to keep it as far away as possible so it didn't become the Sammy Hagar show, which it is anyway. I don't know what's wrong with this guy. So normally it would be, you know, Cabo Wabo presents Sammy Hagar, David Lee Roth. So now it's just, you know, whoever presents Sammy Hagar and David Lee Roth. But Cabo Wabo is just, you know, at the venues, if they are allowed to sell hard liquor at the venues, the Cabo Wabo has this, we have this big environment. It's a big old blow-up lands in. It's the arch, you know, the mountain with the arch in it, and then the big lighthouse next to it, the Cabo Wabo lighthouse, and a 30-foot blue Cabo Wabo tequila bottle. And if you can't see that, then you don't need a drink, okay? But you should be able to see that from anywhere in the venue and know that's where you go buy the Cabo Wabo and get the margaritas and the shots and things like that. And we're having, you know, radio contests and stuff to where people get to sit on stage in my bar because my stage, like everyone that's seen it show knows that I carry the Cabo Wabo around with me. We got 50 people to sit on stage, four waitresses that are worth the price of admission in themselves, and a couple bartenders and 21 cases of Cabo Wabo, and some soft drinks, and we serve the people and myself drinks all night while I play.
I remember that.
You know what I mean?
We're doing some of those contests, and I actually got to be on stage.
That's what the Cabo Wabo promotion is for this tour. We're just going around, Dave, and we're not presenting the show, but we're taking over the show.
I understand. That's what has to be done.
Yes, sir.
One more question on the Cabo Wabo tequila. I recently read a business article where the bottle in the liquor stores will become $7 cheaper per bottle because you had reinvested some money into the company.
That's right.
How does that work? I mean, I'm trying to get into your business practices here, but how does that work?
Here's the way it works. I own this little factory in Mexico. We put this tequila in bottles in Mexico, and then there's a company in America called Wilson and Daniels that imports it. I can't do it. You know, liquor, you can't even walk across the state line with more than two bottles in your hand. You know, there's all these laws. So they have to import it into America. So I sell it to them for a certain price. And then once it's in America, then they sell it to distributors in every state, every city, practically every town has their own individual distributors. They got to sell it to each one of those people, and then those people in turn go out and sell it to a store. And by the time it hits the store, the damn stuff was getting like $50 a bottle, and I started freaking out. I'm going, listen, you know, I ain't making $50 a bottle here. Everybody else is taking a piece, and they're ripping the fans off in a sense, you know, that it shouldn't be that expensive. A great bottle of tequila should be mid-40s right now, and it used to be, you know, mid-20s. It's just that the price of it's gone up so crazy, right?
Right.
The price you pay for the plant, the agave, to make the tequila has quadrupled since I've been in the business, right? So, long story short, I took $1 million, $1 million of my own money, and I sold it to the distributors cheaper. In other words, I took $1 million off the price so that because I figured out what it needed to be. It needs to be $37.95. And now it's $7 a bottle cheaper at the store. And I'm eating it. No one else will eat it. I'm the one that's got to eat it. And it was just, I just, you know, it's not all about money all the time. This is about the finest tequila in the world. I want my fans to be able to afford it, and I don't want them to think that I'm gouging them because these other knuckleheads are gouging them.
Well, that makes sense because I like drinking it, and it was getting expensive.
Yes, sir, it was, man. I walked into a store, and I about fell over, and I saw one for $52 a bottle. I said, hold on, man. I almost beat the guy up behind the counter, you know?
Yeah.
Listen, you know, anyway. So, I mean, I sell it to my tequila company for that much for a case.
Wow.
You know what I'm saying? So, anyway, long story short, we're back on track. I changed the bottle so we can make more because, you know, I haven't been able to meet the demand because it's handmade tequila and I'm trying to do it right. So, blah, blah, blah. This is Sammy Hagar, ladies and gentlemen. Forget the rock concert. This is about drinking. This is about partying, man.
Well, let's get on to some other music real quick. Real quick question. Planet Us. Just something fun to do or any plans in the future to lay some stuff down and let the fans around the world get to hear this interesting collaboration.
This, boy, yeah, it's interesting collaboration, too, because, you know, between my family, my music, my band, my tequila, and the Cabo Wabo in general, I don't have time to, like, to eat anymore, you know? So to start a new band on the side, the only reason why I did it is because I gave it 5 minutes of my time, and it blew me away, and we were so, the chemistry was so fantastic for Planet Us that I said, I got to do this. So we recorded, we wrote and recorded two new songs. That's all we've gotten done, and then I had to start preparing for this tour. But it's Dean Castronovo on drums, it's Michael Anthony on bass, and it's Neil Schoen on guitar and me singing. And I'm telling you, it's for the top in their class of what we do, and it works. When you get, you know, you can have the best players in the world, but if it does, there's no chemistry, you got nothing. This is chemistry, and it's unbelievable. And we're going to finish the record in October after my birthday bash at the Cabo Wabo, and then we're going to hopefully go out on tour next year, and it's what I want to do.
Right.
I hate to get everybody more excited than this tour coming up, but it's what I really want to do is I want to fold Journey, Sammy Hagar, and Planet Us together and have three different bands and go on tour together and call it the Planet Us Festival.
That'd be great.
I mean, all day rock and roll, man. This could really be so cool, you know, and just let all three bands, you know, spawn something different, and Journey would play, and I'll play, and then Planet Us will all get together and play, and then at the end, we bring everybody out, and we all play, and, you know, just make it like a big Grateful Dead concert or something, you know, only full-blown rock and roll.
Awesome. Well, let's get to this tour. What's going to be different about this Hagar set than, say, some of the previous, you know, Red Rocker visits to San Antonio?
Well, not much difference except that I have to play a little bit shorter amount of time. I'm going to be playing, even though I'm closing in San Antonio, you know, we flip-flop each night, you know, so Dave's closing the night before, I think, in Dallas or whatever. But I'm closing in San Antonio, and but it still doesn't matter. We get to play an hour and a half each.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the only difference is I just have to trim about an hour out of my set. Everyone knows that when I do an evening with, I play 2.5 hours, so I can't do that. But when I'm closing, if the venue allows there to be any kind of overtime, I'll play as long as I can. But I'm kind of contracted with Dave and I that neither one of us will play longer than an hour and a half.
Okay.
Especially the opener.
Right.
The guy that opens, you know, if he plays longer, then it screws up the second half of the show. So when you're opening, you got to be more careful. When you're closing, if it's legal and there's not penalties or they don't take you to jail or something,
right,
then I'll play longer anytime I can. But I've redesigned the Cabo Wabo. My stage has still got, like I said, the 50 people on stage and all that. But we've got a big screen of, you know, 40 by 60 foot screen that we're going to show video things on and things that... It changed my club up, man. I had to redecorate. But I still got those waitresses and the bartenders and the people on stage and, you know, and all the crazy paintings all throughout my stage, you know, the whacked out Mexicano art, you know. And
right.
It's great.
Well, I remember listening to the press conference with you and Dave. Some interesting sound bites came out of it, but are there still any considerations for the end of the night encore together as one, or is that going to be like a surprise, or do I need to shut up?
I'm 100% open to it. Dave is not open to it. He said he's never done it with another singer, and he said he's uncomfortable with it, and I'm going, hey, fine, I'm not going to you know, tie you up and have somebody drag you out there on my stage.
Right.
I'd probably just kick the hell out of him anyway.
Well, that kind of leads me to my next question, and I don't want to put you or make you say anything you don't want to say, but are there any worries about the tour? And, you know, I love Dave to death and been a fan of both y'all's forever, but we know Dave has a little bit of an ego. Are you worried about some ego issues and making compromises that you're going to feel uncomfortable with?
I will never make a compromise that I'd feel uncomfortable with. The only compromise I made was that I gave this guy co-headlining status. I allowed him to close some of the shows, which, in my opinion, was, you know, giving up a lot, because I've never opened for anybody since 1979, and I don't think Dave's headlined since 1979, but other than Van Halen. But I just think that to make this happen, that was the only compromise I was willing to make. After that, I'm making no compromises. I will not. When I'm on stage, I'll do exactly what I do, and he can't say anything, and if he does, there'll be a fist fight.
Right.
And when he's on stage, he can do whatever he does, because that's his stage at that moment in time, and I can't have anything to say about it. Those are the rules I'm living and breathing by. And if his ego gets jumped up because one of the nights that I'm opening, he walks out on stage and people start going, Sammy, 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 during his show, that's not my problem. Because that's where your ego gets that's where your ego gets messed with, okay?
Yeah.
And I don't see people chanting, Dave, 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 when I'm up on stage. And if they wanted to, go ahead, man. I'll even stop playing and let you get it out, you know?
Yeah. No.
Before one of my fans comes over and slaps the hell out of me.
Oh, what's your set list going to be like? Half and half, a little bit more Van Halen? Or?
Yeah, you know, I call it a third, but it's really more like 60-40. It's about 60% Sammy Hagar, you know, Montrose, you know, One Way to Rock, I Can't Drive 55, Heavy Metal, Three Lock Box, Eagles Fly. You know, I got to do those songs. And then of course, the Van Halen hits, you know, Right Now, and Finish What You Started, and Top of the World, and, you know, Why Can't This Be Love? You know, I got to play those songs, and I'm fine with that. Dreams, you know, the great Van Hagar era tunes. And then, you know, I got to do Mos Tequila and Little White Lie and some of the stuff that I've done since I left Van Halen.
Right.
And I'm trying to squeeze it all in, folks. Let me tell you, usually I'm up there talking as much as I'm playing. I'm going to have to cut some of the jabber out to get the music in. So I hope that doesn't disappoint anyone, but don't worry, I'll get my licks in.
One last question for you. Tell me about High Maintenance.
Oh, Lord have mercy. What, are you on the internet all day or something?
I'm the news guy here. My job is to know stuff like High Maintenance.
Oh, you are in. That's the most inside thing. I played three nights at the world famous Fillmore Ballroom here in San Francisco, and with my band, the Wobblerinas. You know, we wanted to play Cinco de Mayo. To me, is as much a holiday as 4th of July. Okay, I'm a Mexican at heart.
You're right.
I mean, I live in Mexico. You know, I have a club in Mexico. I own a tequila company, for God's sakes. So Cinco de Mayo is an important day to me, so I wanted to play, and so they wanted to book me at the Fillmore. So I put the Fillmore on sale, and it only holds 1,300 people. It's a little place, and we wanted to throw this big Cinco de Mayo party, and I put the Cabo Wabo menu in, and we, you know, Cabo Wabo tequila was just, you know, we sold 47 cases of Cabo Wabo tequila with 1,300 people. There tells you what kind of seller. But the problem was it sold out in 20 minutes, and I'm going, oh, my God. So my fans were lined up for days to get in, and so they called me like an emergency, like at 10 o'clock in the morning. They called me at 10:20 and said, Sammy, it's sold out. Can you play Monday and Tuesday, or just at least Monday? I said, sure. You know what I mean? I'm laying here in bed going, okay, I'll do it. So anyway, we ended up doing three nights. I don't like playing three nights anywhere because you feel like you can't do the same show anywhere as near the same show I do anyway, because half the people are the same damn people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And I called Michael Anthony. I said, Mike, why don't you fly up and we'll see if Dean and Neil could come up and Planet Us. Maybe we'll play part of the third night. Well, so Mike said, sure, I can do it. But then Neil and Dean couldn't because Journey was out on tour. So I ran into Lars Ulrich, my buddy, down at the grocery store. And I said, hey, Lars. He goes, hey, you're playing a Fillmore. Can I come? I want to come and see you. I'm going, to hell with just coming. Why don't you just, you know, bring a pair of drumsticks and jam with me? He goes, oh, I'll get Kirk to do it. I said, okay, fine. So him and Kirk call me up, and they said, we want to rehearse. We've learned the whole first Montrose record. And I'm going, come on over. So they came to my house, and we rehearsed. And when they came to my house, this is where the name came from. They brought about 10 roadies. I'm going, no, wait a minute, you guys. You know, this is my house. I got all the equipment. It's all set up. I'm all ready to go. I got a couple of roadies here. And Lars goes, well, we're kind of high maintenance. And I'm going, that's a great name for a band. So we called the band, nicknamed it High Maintenance. And that night at the Fillmore, Michael Anthony came out and joined my band for about a 45-minute Van Halen set. And then I brought Lars and Kirk out, and Mike played bass, and we did about an hour Montrose set. It was unbelievable. There were pictures on the Van Halen, I mean on the Metallica website, I guess.
Yeah, that's where I saw the pictures.
Yeah, it was, I'm telling you, it was one of those magical moments, Chuck. If you, you know, anybody that was there would probably tell you, it went beyond music. It became just this big, phenomenal event, you know.
Yeah. I mean, especially if you, you know, if you like all the members involved, that's just a phenomenal, you know, set to get to experience that.
I plan on doing some of that kind of stuff on this tour. Michael Anthony's going to come out, and Dean and Neil are going to come out, you know, for some shows. And when I, you know, come out for encores, a lot of times I'll bring somebody out, and we'll rip it up. But I feel kind of bad for Dave when I do that kind of stuff. It's going to be hard enough without those people on Dave.
Well, Dave's got his own issues. All I'll right. just be well, honest with that.
I, you know what? You nailed it, Chuck. I don't have to worry about Dave, right?
Yeah, but bring Michael and do it during your set when you come to San Antonio. Maybe I'll help pay for his airfare or something. I would kill to see that, man.
You got a deal, man. I'll give Mike your number. You guys can work out the arrangement.
That's fine. I'll figure something out. I'll refinance my house. It don't matter to me. I don't care.
Mike should be able to take care of his own arrangements.
Right? Yeah, he should be. You know, I've bought enough of the albums. He should be doing okay. Okay, well, Sammy, I thank you for your time.
My pleasure. San Antonio rules. I can't wait to put my feet, hit that river walk, man. Walk up and down there just smelling the place, scarfing the best Mexican food in all of the United States here. You know, well, north of the border. Best Mexican food north of the border. And some great rock and roll. Peace and love. I can't wait to see my people out there.
And we will see you very soon, and hopefully I get to talk to you out at the venue.
Adios, amigo.
Thanks, sir. Bye. Bye.